going to Minneapolis this Friday.
Are you going to see Amy Klobuchar?
I'm hoping to get attacked by her.
Aren't we all? This is why I got the shirt. Yeah.
When the Pink Panther enters his apartment and Kato is there. I imagine when you get off the plane, Amy Klobuchar is just waiting.
Not now, Amy.
What's it, like, whip a clock at you?
Not today, Klobuchar.
Yeah, you can't walk anywhere in Minneapolis without worrying that, like, you're going to get just whipped with a stapler from an open window.
She's like a sniper. How does she do that?
I'm waking up with a fork in my hair, but no one was in my room last night.
She sent you a Minneapolis message.
The Clovefather.
Sorry, the problem here is that November is wearing a Klobuchar shirt. A Klobuchar 2020. That looks so unofficial.
Yes.
It looks like such a knockoff.
Yes.
It's so beautiful, and I'm hyper-focusing on it.
I'm so glad we're hyper-focusing on my shirt, because it's the first of about 20 different things I have to talk about today. Yes, this is a bootleg Amy Klobuchar shirt, because due to, like, campaign finance laws or some shit like that, American political campaigns stores will not ship internationally. And so when it came out that Amy Klobuchar had been, like,
found the one finance law that's still real.
Yeah. And so when it came out, that it's the same reason why I couldn't get the official Hillary Clinton, like, drink koozie, right? But, like, to be chilling in Cedar Rapids with.
That's right.
But so when it came out that Amy Klobuchar had been, like, femdoming her staffers, that appealed to me politically. And so I wanted to support her. And obviously, you know, I can't donate, I can't sort of, like, fund, I can't get, like, any of the, you know, official merch, but I can show my support. And I think I might be the sort of chairperson of Britain's for Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar for UK ambassador.
Yeah. The thing is, I truly believe in my heart that she is an absolute freak, brackets, positive, brackets, I think. Like, the time when she did the rebuttal to the State of the Union and just posted feet for free, along with, like, a weird thing about her shoes, I think, I'm like, this woman should be president. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
Imagine her and Liz Truss meeting. It could have been so beautiful.
I mean, I'm pretty certain they have, just not, like, at a party. In, like, a political context.
Yeah, like some kind of do you think they soiled a couple of bathrobes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to the political play party.
God, I know those are real.
Yeah, it's called the Conservative Party. Am I right? Okay, look, we have some. I have two, like, big media, like, large medium sized mayors to deal with.
Two large medium sized mayors, which are the ruin of my life.
Yeah, yes. I hate this inclusive sizing shit where it's like large, medium, and I'm like, what is that? Just do two sizes.
Yeah.
You know, what's a XL versus a 1XL? I don't understand it. Like, I know I'm one of them.
These are two Euro large, like this, like a European size large mayor.
It's a 40, they're a size 48.
This is related to one of my woes, actually, because what I've brought, you've brought the two large, medium mayors, and what I've brought is a kind of, like, package of some of my bullshit. I've brought very little that's, like, explicitly mayor related.
It's cardinals.
Yeah, I've got some cardinal stuff if you want me to do some cardinal stuff, but I've also got, like, just some various woes, some things that are happening to me. I got a bit about like sandals that I can do at any time, drop for hat. So
large, medium.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I have two large, medium mayors, one of whom is Randall Weddle.
Yes.
Because there's so much more to him.
The long promised Weddle update.
This is the thing is, once we've done a mayor as an episode, we can't ever do them again. That's a new precept. We're not going back to the well. So if anything subsequently happens with Randall Weddle, we can't go back to the Weddle well.
Well, I'd say we can treat him like Eric Adams.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, we will never do a biographical piece on Weddle again. No. But if he holds the parade.
Well, of course, yes.
Then that's going to be like Eric Adams.
Is he the first mayor to graduate from the roundup to the episode proper?
He may be.
And if so, should we give Randall a round of applause for his accomplishment?
A Randall of applause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just hold for the listener to clap wherever they are.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Just on a train, sort of like in a hub. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for them to just lean over to your neighbor that's looking at you in public saying, And you say to them, it's for Randall Weddle for graduating from Municipal Roundup. And they'll know, of course, what you're talking about.
Of course, of course. Yeah.
If you see someone else clapping, they're probably also listening to this. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's my question for you two, because I'm going to let you two decide. And everyone else can vote as well. You're listening at home, mm-hmm. vote by concentrating really hard on the answer. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the 25-year-old WhatsApp mayor of Bom Jardim in Brazil first, or Randall Weddle first?
I feel like I want to get the WhatsApp mayor done first, but I also want to do a brief segment of mayoral roundup, because we have some mayoral roundups to round up.
Point of order. It's called municipal roundup.
Well, in this case, the bit that I'd like to do is called apostolic roundup, and I'd like to replace the traditional hya with some like Gregorian chanting with one hya and a whip crack mixed in. So if that's not too much work.
Sam. Let's see what Sam does with this.
We got to pick a new pope on account of rest in power, previous pope, no longer alive. So you've seen the movie Conclave, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm an expert. I'm pretty much an expert on conclaves.
Yeah, you've either seen the movie Conclave or you've listened to the forthcoming Kill James Bond bonus episode about the movie Conclave.
I've actually only been in a papal conclave. I've never watched anything about it, but I participated.
From that time you were a cardinal, yeah.
From that time I was a cardinal in the 90s.
It's like, I don't watch sports, but I do like playing sports. Mm-hmm. Like, I love voting for the Pope.
I go to the park and I do a pickup conclave with some people in the neighborhood.
Shirts v skins conclave.
Getting dunked on by an 80-year-old cardinal at the YMCA. Yeah. He's shouting out the names of like cardinals you've never even heard of. You've got to go
innocent
home and Google
too.
Them.
Yeah.
The and one conclave videos are so impressive though.
So as is also a precept of the podcast, popes as mayors, right? Shrimps as bugs, popes as mayors. And
Jesus Christ.
And so consequently, we have to take an interest in who the Pope might be as a podcast rather than just as people. So I thought I would offer you some of the options as to who the next Pope might be. It's a pretty broad field, could be anybody. The guy I want it to be is Cardinal Tagle, who is sometimes racistly called the Asian Francis. Right.
Woo.
Yeah, he's woke Filipino Pope, or would be woke Filipino Pope. He is less homophobic and transphobic than average, which makes him a sort of like liberalizing reformer, and seems personally nice.
Hey,
that's my hope. I'm hoping for Filipino Pope. On the other hand, we have a large Italian contingent. It has been half a century since we had an Italian Pope. And, you know, like Francis kind of got in because he was, you know, Argentinian Italian, and that was Italian enough for the Italians, but now they want an Italian. So
the slippery slope, you're letting it a half an Italian, next we're going to have an Italian. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've seen at one point the front runner I've seen described as, which I don't know, is Pietro Parolin, who is the like Secretary of State, and he's like the deep state Vatican guy. He's like establishment cardinal. He's not woke.
Ooh, he's woke.
No, he's like managerial. He's bureaucratic. He's I don't know. He's the way that the Joe Biden campaigned without the senility, despite being, you know, 90 years old or whatever.
Yeah. How's his court vision? Is he like a 3-and-D kind of guy?
He's like a fundamentals guy. Is the thing. That's the way I describe him. Yeah. Nothing flashy. You know.
No crossovers.
No.
He's a lunch pail pope.
Absolutely. That's why he keeps the lunch pail under the big guns of the hat. Yeah.
Of course.
It could also be, we could also get Pope Pizza Baller. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I should have shaved the basketball jokes for the time where the guy is called Baller, but yeah, that's on me.
It's Pizza Baller.
It's a pizza that plays basketball. Go on.
Yeah. Who's currently the like, oh God, I forget the word for it. He's in charge in Jerusalem, right? Which makes him in charge of also Gaza. And this has made him moderately woke. Cool goatee. Read some of his homilies. Pretty cool.
The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem.
The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem.
That's a pretty good name. That goes pretty hard.
Pretty good.
My preferred Italian here is Cardinal Zuppi, partly because of the name.
Yep.
I mean,
okay. Soup.
Yeah, exactly. Cardinal soup. You're not going in against the, you know, the pizza valet guy necessarily, just on name funniness with Zuppi, but it's something, right? And he's also the guy who's wokest on LGBT stuff. Mm-hmm. Not sure why, but weirdly he is. Conversely, in Europe, you have this guy, Wim Eyck. Dutch Pope. Horrible idea. Never do a Dutch Pope.
I don't want that name.
That's what the Habsburgs were fighting to stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Wim Eyck is kind of the inverse. He's the inverse Zuppi. He's the anti-Zuppi. He's the opposite of soup.
He's sort of a salad.
Yeah. Because he's the guy who is kind of broadly establishment conservative, but has a real hard-on for hating trans people specifically, and nobody knows why. So it's cool, but basically, like, and then the conservative thing is split between, like, any number of African cardinals, all of whose religious views are anti-capitalist, anti-colonialist, social issues, turbo Hitler, or Raymond Burke, who is pro-capitalist, pro-colonialist, social views, turbo Hitler. So that's the brief.
That's the American
kind of
guy, right?
Yeah. That's the
he
guy.
He looks like a walking steak. It's incredible. Yeah.
He's awful. One of the funniest things Francis ever did was kick him out of his apartment in Vatican City just because he felt like it and he didn't want him hanging around. So yeah, these are the candidates, more or less. Could be somebody completely unexpected. But whoever it is going to get to become the new mayor and also some other things of Vatican City.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do something about those wild dogs that have taken over parts of Rome.
Yeah,
it's constant trebuchet battles between different condottieri.
I was going to say, I'm hoping they'll do something about the people all over the Italian peninsula making handmade guns and shooting each other all the time. If you listen to our Pope episode.
You should listen to our Pope episode. That's the only way any of the jokes will make sense. Otherwise, this is just a straight recounting of like who the guys who might be Pope are, which I've just imposed on the podcast because I thought it would be funny.
Yeah, and you know what? You were right.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So, if you want to know, hey, why do they think popes are mayors? Mm. We go through more or less the entire argument with Patrick Wyman a couple months ago.
Yeah, or you could get the sort of you could get at it from the logical corollary of shrimps as bugs. If you understand why that's
shrimps
so, then
bugs. I'm actually putting that in the precepts right now, real quick.
What shrimps as bugs?
Shrimps as bugs, yeah. Comma popes as mayors.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, let's edit the precept that a pope is a mayor to include that shrimps is bugs.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through the precepts real quick one more time just so we can get them on the record on a free episode because it's been a while. Number one, respect for the nation of Albania. Two, explode the SS Richard Montgomery to see what happens. Three, Frank Ney was okay as far as we know. Four, Sarah Palin knows hoops. Five, believe drunken women. Six, shrimps is bugs, comma, popes is mayors.
We're up to six precepts already? That's so many precepts.
Yeah.
You see how the Catholics got at it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Look, we're collecting sayings, and then those sayings can be interpreted by later scholars. I wonder, maybe a war will begin over shrimps as bugs, popes as mayors.
What does they mean by this?
Time to kill each other about it.
Well, that was pontifical roundup. Thank you for your time. Also, I'm realizing that I called it two different things in like each
whatever
side
it
of
is.
It. I can't get the name of the thing right when I decide the name of the thing.
Well, look, I assume people like that.
I hope so.
Don't write in.
Write in to the Vatican.
Yeah,
just
right
let them
to the
know,
Vatican.
Hey, there's this cool podcast that gave you guys a shout out, you know, maybe you as like an up and coming
to the Vatican.
Yeah,
check out. So where can people follow you? At Vatican, at Pontiff.
Yeah, I'm actually turning to all the popes, the hopeful popes, the popefuls that are all guests of the show right now. They're all just, they're obviously either here with us. They're not speaking. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling them to get the Vatican to follow us back on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky, it's not happening.
I would love the papal follow back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Robert Sarah from Guinea is just doing like warm-ups, you know. Mario Grech from Malta is stretching his quads.
Yeah, I was going to say, the trainer's got the big rubber band out for him.
I didn't even mention half of these guys, so yeah.
The Hungarian one is just doing sprints tied to a big tire. Pope training just camp.
Seeing Matteo Zuppi with the big battle ropes, you know?
Yeah, the papal combine is really a wonderful time of year.
All right. You want to talk about some mayors?
I want to talk about some mayors.
I got two.
Okay,
so we're going to do Lidian Leite da Silva first, and then we're going to do Randall Weddle.
Okay, perfect.
Great.
We culminate in a Weddle.
Yeah, so these are both, I would say, medium arcana, right?
They are inventing a whole new thing that completely fucks the tarot just to, as part of a metaphor. Yeah, we've got the major arcana, the minor arcana, and the medium arcana.
And the medius arcana, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the tower is a major arcana, uh-huh. Right? Or like the emperor, or whatever.
The guy flying into the power lines in the hot air balloon. We're familiar.
Yeah, this is like the business owner. Like, you know, the local notable, the stand-up comedian.
I mean, that's sort of the niche that the podcast is in, right? That's what we articulate a mayor as, is someone who is neither major nor minor, but just kind of medium.
Yeah, the medium arcana. Okay, so here is Lidian Leite da Silva, the disgraced mayor of Bom Jardim, a city of about 40,000 people in the state of Maranhão in Brazil.
Is the city named Nice Garden?
Nice garden. Shame if something were to happen to it.
Pretty Bom Jardim you got here.
So Bom Jardim is a city of about 40,000 people in the state of Maranhão. Maranhão is a relatively low human development index for Brazil. Many families rely on like the local school to like feed their kids.
Riley, I love you. This is such a graduate scheme way of approaching this. Is okay, I'm gonna tell you about this math. The human development index of this
So let me just try that again.
No, it's beautiful.
Okay.
No. So, it was a compliment. Okay. Kind of.
All right. Basically, but that's the context here, right? Is that a huge amount of money gets distributed to people through like the local school system.
Yeah.
That's how like kids get fed and so on and so on. The education budget is de facto a lot of the social care budget.
It sounds like an excellent thing to embezzle.
Well, hold on. So Lidian Leite da Silva was born on the 9th of Junau, 1990. So a fellow Gemini. And she brings that energy to the municipal government.
Well, there's two of her?
Yeah, now, not much is known about her life before politics, other than that she sold milk outside her front door in Bom Jardim for outside her mother's house. And then she worked at a supermarket.
That's resolutely normal. I'm in my head now thinking of her as the twins from The Shining or the twins from that one Australian TV news interview.
Yeah, but then the lift door opens and just milk comes out.
It's going to get in the carpets. Gross.
Yeah, that's the real horror of The Shining, is that the hotel is sort of sour smelling.
I played a lot of viscera cleanup detail. I don't know what to tell you. I think that is the horror of The Shining.
So she sold milk outside her mother's house in Bom Jardim, and then she worked at a supermarket. And at the supermarket, she met a man named Beto Rocha, who was a local rich guy, rancher, landlord, business owner, and general hustler.
Oh, this sounds like the worst guy on earth, or the worst type of guy on earth.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a piece of shit. Now, he was running for mayor in 2012, right? This is when all this sort of kicks off. However, he fell foul of something called the Clean Slate Law, which says you cannot run for office if you've been done for corruption. So What does Lidian do? She adopts her boyfriend's surname, calling herself Lidian Rocha, enters politics, and then like on his ticket. So like 3 weeks before the vote happens in Bom Jardim, she's like, vote for me instead of my criminal boyfriend.
Oh, so it's she's like a surrogate candidate. So like everybody's got the signs that just say Rocha on them and not like her name, you know?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. That. So she even changes her name. So it'd be like vote Rocha. They can just keep all that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, even during her, so she wins during her inauguration speech, she says, to be clear, I'm representing Beto. Beto is the one who will be in charge along with you. I'm just here to do what he says.
I'm not thrilled about that, to be honest. I like the kind of hurried, along with you, of course, the voter.
Yeah. He's in charge. Also, I suppose the people have a say as well. Not me, though.
My boyfriend, landlord piece of shit you all hate, is the one in charge. And also, I guess, like democracy or whatever.
Yeah, I guess there's going to be some local democracy. And the thing is, though, you're expecting this to go one way, whereas in fact, it goes another, which is, she's elected. She appoints Beto, or whose full name is Humberto Dantas dos Santos.
Uh-huh.
to be her secretary of political affairs, run the town. And then she says, I'm going to go live in São Luís, which is like another city.
Did you say secretary?
No, I did not. Yeah, was the secretary there?
It's like a like the secretary, but check, you know?
Yeah. So she appoints Beto to be like her second in command, quote unquote, her secretary of political affairs. Uh-huh. And so he was responsible for running the day-to-day like life in the town. And then she just then moved to São Luís and immediately began living a life of quite extreme luxury somehow, even though her salary was only 12,000 reals per month, which is not very much money.
So this is interesting then, because now we're thinking about the sort of, I was going into this thinking, oh, she's going to be like a cat's paw for him. And then he's going to like run the town through her and he's going to embezzle all the milk out of the schools or whatever the fuck it is. Right. Mm-hmm. But now I'm getting the sense that this guy, this piece of shit landlord is maybe like a wife guy type situation, you know,
as it would seem. Right. So it goes some places.
Okay.
So basically she ran away and immediately the first thing she does is she starts flexing on Instagram relentlessly. She does not stop posting.
I'd ask why they all do this, but this seems like part of the point of doing the corruption in the first place is Instagram.
She's very much like doing live, laugh, love corruption. Like she's posting her Pilates routines, but with like very at expensive studios. Mm. She's posting a lot of like champagne brunches and she's like posting fat, like, you know, lavender Lamborghinis and stuff. She's having a great time.
I wouldn't want to do Pilates after a champagne breakfast, I don't think.
Yeah, I would do Pilates before breakfast.
It seems like a good way to like throw up a bunch of champagne, you know?
So basically what she, that's cool. So what she does is she never ever goes to Bomjardim, to the town she's mayor of.
Just sure. Like, yeah, fuck this shitty town. It is here to subsidize my lifestyle as a minor influencer.
Yeah, I'm busy dancing like nobody's watching, and I actually am kind of too busy to go there.
I mean, listen, sometimes it takes a whole town. It takes a village to subsidize a girl boss. You know,
that's absolutely right.
I mean, if I could get in on that grift, I absolutely would. Just reveal a couple of seasons into the show that, by the way, I've been mayor of somewhere the whole time, and that like none of your Patreon like donations have ever mattered because I've actually just been using like the town's school budget to pay for everything.
Yeah, how do you think she affords all those Klobuchar shirts?
That's smart. That's good business. Yeah,
she's the mayor of a small village in Wales. It's very far away, and she's never been.
So she's called the WhatsApp mayor because she never visits the town and she runs everything from WhatsApp just by like telling people what to do in a WhatsApp group. However,
oh, so we're against remote working now. I see how it is. If you're a mayor, you have to come back to City Hall. You have to come back and work in the office.
Yeah, for the fizz of ideas. So Malrinete Gralhada says, I was Lidian's vice mayor, but I was often prohibited from attending council meetings. It was like a dictatorship via WhatsApp.
What meetings? It's a guy on a phone.
Yeah. So it's like, so basically Beto is there administering contracts, essentially. Mm. She's partying it up in São Luís.
This is the most cucked landlord in the world as well, to be like, yeah, I got my like hot girlfriend and, you know, I made her run as mayor because I couldn't run as mayor. And then she just left to go to a cooler city. And she just posts and tells me what to do.
Yeah, essentially. I told you it doesn't go the way you expect. Yeah. And then everyone else who's supposed to be working there is just receives frequent dictatorial orders from her that are like, you know, everyone into the meeting and then like, you know, show me who's here. Okay, you get out. And then she just WhatsApps everyone the instructions.
This is cool. This is cool to me.
Yeah. So this is but then the local residents began realizing, hey, there are no schools. Why? We used to have three schools.
could have sworn we used to have some of these.
Yeah.
No, they were gone. So this is like, I had to go to a lot of like translated Portuguese newspapers. But for years, the town of Turi do Augusto in the municipality of Bomjardim, because it's like a municipality of lots of different little cities dotted around Brazil's northeast. Turi do Augusto has been promised a new school. This small village of nearly 60 families lies deep in one of Brazil's poorest regions. Jonas da Silva unlocks a rough wooden door to a building that currently serves as the school and reveals classrooms that have pothole dirt floors, mud walls crumbling, broken water fountains, saying it's more a place to keep your pigs than to teach children. During term time, 50 kids study here. In a community like this one with no running water, many families rely on school to provide meals for their children. He says, when Lydian was mayor, they never had any food at school. And it was this absence of school meals in particular across Bomjardim, as reported by parents, that triggered the investigation into the mayor and her associates. Mm-hmm. Right. So the authorities looked at Lydian Leita's social media feeds. And they were like, okay, well,
the quickest investigation in history, because she's just posted on Instagram, like, just starved a bunch of kids. Hashtag corruption.
Yeah. She says, before I became mayor, I was poor. Now I have a Land Rover. Maybe I should buy a more luxurious car, because thank you, God, I have enough money to do it. I can buy whatever I want. I'm going to spend money on whatever I want. I don't care what you say about me.
I feel like the classic sort of thing. I feel like a politician, all they have is what people say about them.
That's a key part of the grift, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that too. It's just like, well, all this money I've stolen, I also was like, now I'm rich because I'm mayor. And they'd be like, don't you only make an official salary of 12,000 reals a month? And she'd be like, no.
Your voters become your haters on the Instagram of success.
Well, her Instagram bio says, the best place in the world is inside a hug. I love God.
I love this type of influencer shit so much, for real.
Yeah, she's like, she is kind of like God's perfect mayor in some ways.
Yeah, just all hype, all vibes, like starving your children and giving them malnutrition in order to pay for her getting a nicer SUV in a city that is not where you live.
The best place in the world is inside a hug.
Is that a precept? Can we add that to the
thing? Can't keep adding precepts.
It's certainly one of the better places in the world. I love to listen. I love to be hugged. But that's one of those beautiful sentences that only exist when you translate a romance language into English, right? Mm. Like, you just can't generate that language, that sentence in English naturally.
No.
Yeah.
So in 2014, she's removed from office for the first time, but it doesn't work.
So, what?
Certainly the clean slate law.
She keeps on getting, she keeps on successfully getting injunctions against the council for getting rid of her. Mm. So it would be like, oh, we can legally get rid of you if you're out of Bomjardim for more than 10 days at a stretch. And so every like 10 days, she would just drive through Bomjardim and then back to San Luis.
Just waving at the window, a single gloved hand.
Yeah, bye everybody. So she always had these injunctions that were saying she's been improperly removed. She's also facing multiple lawsuits, including for, unsurprisingly, unilaterally cutting teachers' salaries, failing to comply with the school calendar, and failing to provide school meals.
I'm curious about failing to comply with the school calendar. I didn't realize that was binding on a mayor.
Well, I think it's that she just would like, well, I'm not going to hire. Because the other thing to know is that the way that the corruption worked here, part of it was through the usual like no bid contract thing, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. Part of it was also just she transferred money from the city's account to her account. So she'd be like, this is the teacher payroll. I'm just going to transfer it to my account and buy a better car. And she just did that for like years. So another thing to note here, right, is that Leita and Rocha, they break up in 2015.
Most cucked man in the world. Like, she ditches you for another city and a Land Rover, and then she dumps you.
And the thing is, the only thing is that once they break up, she wants to keep being corrupt, but she is being even less careful about it.
Because he was being her like cucksigliere, you know, like he was doing all of the actual day to day work of like transferring the money out of the teacher's payroll into her bank account.
Yeah, like what is less careful than never being in town and Venmo transferring yourself money from the school? what's less careful than that?
Just like looking at the receipts in the office of the school, just like, apparently we spent like 160 reals on Yves Saint Laurent.
So it's more like Beto is the one who's doing the corruption with the no bid contracts. Mm. She's doing the, what if I just transferred myself the money corruption?
Okay.
I see.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's like when people are making a huge hue and cry about this, he leaves and she's just doing the, I'm just going to transfer myself the money corruption. The Brazilian federal police, they start to look into this stuff.
God forbid a woman does what a man was already doing.
So when the investigation was launched, the public prosecutor's office of Maranhão requested the removal of the mayor. And her immediate response was, I don't care. I want them to investigate. I want those responsible to be punished if there is one. And I don't know if there is. She then the next day went on the run.
Just like a statement delivered while she was running down the steps towards her Land Rover, keys in hand. You actually want them to investigate so they can find the real criminals.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to go to brunch. So the funniest thing is, though, while she's a fugitive, because she only knows how to govern the city via WhatsApp group, she just keeps doing that. And she's like, by the way, don't collaborate with the prosecutors. I'm still the mayor.
She's a digital nomad. It's fine.
Moving to Mexico City. Annoying the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, the locals hate her, but you know.
So Operation Eden, as it was called, was this investigation against her, and also a couple other people, including Dos Santos, Beto Rocha, as well as Antonio Gomez da Silva. Like, there were lots of people in on it.
Mm.
And it was Fabio Santos de Oliveira, the state prosecutor. This is, again, a quote from a Brazilian newspaper. Shakes his head in disbelief. More than 10 people are under investigation with money pilfered from every part of the budget, but especially health and education. In one case, they contracted fake companies to rebuild 3 schools in Bom Jardim to steal money from the budget. In the prosecutor's thick stack of manila files, there's a photo of a small store, shelves lined with oil, sugar, and household goods. He asks, how could this shop win a contract of more than £100,000 to rebuild a school? But that's what happened here.
We're just going to give the, we're going to run the contract through the grocery store.
So, and also the police were investigating transfers of tens of thousands of reals, which were made from the city hall account to Lidian's personal account.
Cool.
In addition to the mayor, secretaries, former secretaries and businessmen are also being investigated due to irregularities found in contracts signed with shell companies. For example, that one company, Zabar Produciaus, received like 1.3 million reals, and Ecolimp received 1.8 million, but neither company was found to exist.
Ecolimp?
Yes.
You're telling me that Ecolimp was a phantasmic sort of organization? There was no real Ecolimp?
Yeah, there was no real Ecolimp. Ecolimp was, it was not, nowhere to be seen.
Mm.
Bom Dia Brazil found out that none of the 28 schools planned for renovation were ever renovated, and that 2 of the companies that won bids only exist on paper. One of the companies received the Bom Dia Brazil team by closing the door.
Well, there's nothing back there. It's a shell company. It's just the facade, like a Wild West town.
Yeah, I closed the door. The entire building falls perfectly around the door, like Buster Keaton.
Yeah, it's Brazil's comedy city, the slapstick town. So in 2013, the city government signs a contract with farmers to provide school meals in municipal schools, for which each farmer gets 18,000 reals a year. One person, Dona Zuleide, name appears to one of the suppliers. Then Bom Dia Brazil goes to talk to her. When Dona Zuleide says, effectively, I am not a farmer. I have never planted anything or sold any food. And then Bom Dia Brazil says, how do you get into this? To which she responds, I don't know. Look, I was at a Pilates class. Yeah. I made some agreements. I don't know how I got this far in.
You go to a champagne brunch in Santa Luis, and the next thing you know, you become registered as a farmer.
So 39 days after she fled, she then turned herself in and then was sentenced to like wear an ankle bracelet to prevent her from returning to Bom Jardim and living in São Luís.
Was there much risk of that, given that she seemingly hated it there?
I don't think so. Her lawyer stressed that her youth and inexperience led to her mistakes.
I think you have a pretty decent mitigation here where you're like, Your Honor, this is the like girlfriend of the local landlord, and then things got out of control. She is deeply stupid.
Yeah, she's behaving in the way that like when there's like an intern at your job that doesn't know what they're doing and they shouldn't be there. And just and then you're like, what have you been doing? And they're like, printing things.
I've been printing contracts and signing them. Here's the very funny thing, right? She goes on the run and then like 8 days later, her tenure as mayor is revoked. But again, the town does it too soon. They don't wait the full 10. And so the court has to overturn that. And so she becomes mayor for a fourth time on August 9th, 2016.
Our mayor is wearing an ankle tag and cannot, has switched from doesn't go to the town to is legally forbidden from going to the town.
At the time, Lydia Enlaita was surprised by her return to political life in Beaumjardim, saying, "It was a surprise for me. I was going back to school when I was informed about the decision."
Incredible.
Then August 11th, 2016, 2 days later, Lydia is removed from office for the fifth and final time at the request of prosecutor Fabio Santos de Oliveira.
Doing the like Australia, America thing, but for whether or not yes. this woman is mayor of this town.
So, yeah, they basically needed her to come back as mayor just so they could fire her properly, which the state prosecutor did right away. Yeah, but she didn't know that at the time. So on August 9th, she was like, "Hey, you're mayor again." And she was like, "What? Really? Are you sure?" "I'm surprised, but all right." And then 2 days later, okay, yeah, no, you're not mayor.
I love the situation where this woman hates being mayor and the town hates her being mayor, and yet they make her mayor so many times.
The six-time mayor of the city.
She's mayor five different times over the course of like 3 years.
You're just gonna throw a non-consecutive term in there for seasoning, and like she's the most like anomalous statistically mayor we've ever done. Like
Eventually the following year, she was convicted of administrative offenses and like, you know, millions of rails blocked.
All the frauds.
Yeah, for all the frauds. And then they keep like Kwame Kilpatrick, they keep on finding more money that she has to pay back. She's like, "I told you, I spent it on brunch and Land Rovers and stuff." And then in 2019, she was sentenced to 6 years in something called open prison for her various thefts.
What is open prison?
Well, like a minimum security prison.
Yeah, okay. Like club fed kind of.
Okay.
Beto Rocha went to jail also for the same stuff. And then he was also convicted of abusing somebody else. And so then he was sent to jail for way longer.
Yeah, he went to closed prison or real prison.
Yes, he went to real jail. So that's the story of Lydia Enlaita, the party mayor of Beaumjardim, who never went there.
Wow.
This is like a Coen Brothers movie. I'm a big fan of this one.
I love her. I think she should do whatever she wants. I hope she runs for mayor again.
Gets out of prison, runs for mayor again.
I learned my lessons.
All right. As a condition of your parole, you have to not run for mayor of Beaumjardim. Got it.
Checking in with your parole officer who makes you like piss test to see if you've been running for mayor or not.
"Hey, Lydian, it looks like you've been released." And she's like, "What? Early?" And they're like, "Yeah, you've a procedural accident has occurred and you're mayor again."
And then they have to put her in prison again 2 days later.
By being mayor and not mayor, she's doing it so quickly that she's generating free electricity.
I was going to say, it's a quantum superposition.
Our city's mayor, go boss Franz Kafka.
So I wanted to take, I want our second course now. Hmm. Randall Weddle.
Bring me Weddle.
The long promised Randall Weddle biography episode. Now, there's not a lot of new information about him, so we're going into his past.
Doing a deep dive on Weddle. A deep dive in the Weddle Sea.
Get me Weddle. Randall Weddle is a Kentucky businessman in the reverse logistics trade. So he owns a company called WB Transport, which is basically what they do. And he owns like six related companies.
Reverse logistics just sounds like a euphemism for like theft. Like just like in Goodfellas, you know, like after the airport, reverse logistics, everybody was eaten.
He's unfathomably like local rich, basically.
Okay.
From his business in transporting things in reverse. He's transporting the inverted time containers from Tenet.
He's running the truck's odometers backwards to resell them at a lower mileage than he bought them at.
Does Randall Weddle move through time in the same way that we do? Because possibly the parade has already occurred.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the parade is occurring horizontally in time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not back and forth.
It was weird. I asked Randall Weddle about this, and he used his kind of like ink appendage to squirt what was kind of a circle with a number of protrusions that I was trying to work out what that meant from first principles, you know?
Yeah. The first septopod mayor we've covered.
It's time. America's ready.
Heptapod?
It is crucially time. So the reverse logistics, you buy merchandise.
To answer the question of when America's first heptapod mayor was, because they kind of all were simultaneously.
So reverse logistics is you buy stuff that's been returned by customers to retailers And then you either like rip it apart and sell it for parts. Yeah. You sell it at discount liquidation outlets. It's the most local business that you
could
imagine.
It was invented by a World War II veteran named Billy Pilgrim. It's interesting.
So he's like he's like a scrap dealer then.
Okay.
Yeah, but he also owns so many businesses around it. So he has a 200,000 square foot warehouse for his WB Transport reverse logistic businesses that's owned by, sits on land owned by a company called JRD London, whose sole member is Weddle. And then he like rents all of his stuff back and forth between himself. The guy's insanely loaded.
Mm-hmm. Weirdly, one of those things is a Brazilian corner store.
And like he's got like, you know, 9 homes. He is a local hustler, mm-hmm, basically.
Sure. Okay. He's the Beto Rocha of London, Kentucky.
In 2022, he wins this hotly contested mayoral race as a political newcomer. And the reason it's hotly contested is that the previous mayor, who is, of course, in the Mayor-tacular as well, was also accused of a lot of wrongdoing.
Uh-huh.
He was like a sort of self-funded weirdo.
Oh, I love those.
I'm not in anybody's pocket because I just funded my own campaign. He loaned all of the money to his own campaign.
Uh-huh.
And he beat out the Democratic rival, a guy called Judd Weaver. He did this in part by hosting what I can't believe I'm about to tell you, the No Gods, No Mayors second ever report on a free gas giveaway.
This should be illegal. What the fuck?
It is illegal.
This should be more illegal.
Yeah.
This is the Tiffany Henyard special.
Yeah.
But it was only for senior citizens. You had to bring a Medicare card.
Yeah, all right. I will fill your car tested. If you're old.
Yes. And then it caused so much traffic because another mayoral candidate was also doing a free gas giveaway at the next gas station.
God, what? What is it? Is the United States, I'm not familiar with this, right? I've only been to the US once in my life. Is it common to drive around and get caught in traffic between different like petrol stations and think, oh, it's mayor season?
There must be 2 free gas giveaways.
I would say this is, as an American, this is unusual.
So a story in the local newspaper said thousands flocked to the gas station for $50 in free gas, as well as a chili dog.
Ooh.
Was the chili dog also limited to old people?
It doesn't say.
No, but it had been dipped in gasoline.
So that, however, a complaint then alleges, like a sort of ethical complaint is made about this, that alleges that Weddle provided voters also with limousine rides to the polls with instructions on how to vote for Randall Weddle.
This is cool. I mean, I love this guy. He like filled up my car. He gave me a chili dog. He put me in a limousine to the polling station.
Yeah.
So basically a complaint was made to the elections overseer against him and the other candidate who also tried to do the gas giveaway at a different store. The other candidate, by the way, was the 6th place winner, a family court judge called Jonathan Jones. So I don't know if he was going to win in Southern Kentucky.
You're giving away gas to get elected as a judge or...
I believe he was doing another promotion at a nearby store, excuse me. However,
okay.
I need to tell you this. The complaint was penned by one Charles Douglas Phelps.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the guy who he accused of being in a pedo clan later.
Oh.
And was he in a pedo clan?
Well, so Phelps, because remember, there were the 3 brothers, one of whom pled guilty to possession of like explicit material involving children in 2013. This is the guy.
Yo, so the one guy who complained about the gas up your old people event, corruption, was the town pedophile. Just like, oh, I hate stuff that has to do with old people. That's the opposite of what I like.
So this is from the Sentinel.
There's all these disgusting like old people with like crow's feet around.
Yeah.
They're blocking my view of the school.
Yeah, I'm gonna complain to the elections board. So Charles Douglas Phelps was this school administrator. I knew he was a school administrator who pled guilty to possession of, you know, child indecent material involving children. Yeah. In 2013.
Cool. I hope they put him in closed prison. And I hope he dies.
I also hope they put him in closed prison. Yes.
So this is again a quote from the local paper. He was pardoned controversially by former GOP Governor Matt Bevin at the end of his tenure.
What? Why?
I don't know. It's like this guy Matt Bevin at the end of being a governor pardoned so many people, but like this kind of guy.
We're electing like a creep governor.
He's an abolitionist, but just for creeps.
So when contacted about the complaint, Phelps said Weddle was, quote, behaving like an idiot with a lot of money. I filed the complaint against Mr. Weddle in the gas giveaway because I thought it was the right thing to do. Little did I know that my tip was the proverbial tip of the iceberg, which, as we are now seeing. Weddle responds, this dude has done nothing but talk about me for the last 2.5 years. They can keep writing articles about me so long as they can keep writing about old Charles Manson, I mean Doug Phelps, that man of his character can totally be trusted, Weddle wrote.
I'm distracted reading about Bevan's pardons here. He just loved pardoning people, but including some pretty horrible people. But Wikipedia says he pardoned or commuted 428 people in his final month of office, including 336 mostly white drug offenders.
Great.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I'm sure it's a really balanced approach in Kentucky. Yeah.
The rest of them all appear to be creeps.
A general creep amnesty. God damn. So this is the election itself. And again, because this is so local, so much of this is on like inaccessible Facebook groups or stuff that like there are hints of what happened, right? I'm doing the best I can.
The thing is, we can't send like a field reporter to London, Kentucky, because then, you know, the pedo clan might get them.
Right. I mean, so we've just got Riley, like Viggo Mortensen in Lord of the Rings, kneeling down and like smelling the ground.
we're doing like OSINT, you know?
Yeah.
A mayor passed by here.
little traces of sash.
Picking up a little torn piece of sash and crying.
not idly does the sash of Lorien fall. So this is an article from 2022 and it's really short because it's like a little local update thing. I'm going to read the whole selection. Okay. Because the final line is crazy with what comes before it. Transparency of city council meetings was a key topic of conversation between Weddle and candidate Judd Weaver. Jed Weaver said, these meetings should be given live streamed. However, it needs to be done to get it at the citizens. That's first and foremost. Weddle agreed. We must live stream this stuff. And then all of us that you elect into office can be accountable for the things that are being said and done inside the council meetings. Mm-hmm. Both candidates were successful businessmen saying of downtown, we need to make it easy access for downtown to be vibrant so we can look at the ordinances restricting business owners from doing things downtown. This is Weddle. Weaver said, there's a lot of things going on Main Street and a lot of opportunities and possibilities for businesses that come really fast. Uh-huh. The conversation degenerated when both men accused one another of stalking and hiring private investigators. I've been able to find nothing more on that.
Just like pretty kind of normal municipal conversation. By the way, each of these men believe the other is having them stalked.
Yeah, both mayors gang stalked.
I'm a gang stalker, honey. We torment innocent mayors.
How many private investigators can the town of London, Kentucky have?
I assume they're like bussing them in from out of state. You're just getting a bunch of like Tennessean PIs coming into town.
There's 7,596 people who live in London, Kentucky. So like if there's two, that is a significant number of private investigators per capita.
Consider this, a bunch of different private investigators from all over the South come into town in a controversial race between two mayors. That is a late season episode of Justified.
The private investigator conventions in town.
Yeah.
most of them don't just come for like the 2 days of the convention. They actually come for a few days on either end to pick up any extra work there might be.
Yeah. Ralph Steadman did some really cool drawings of those guys.
So also, we have one listener in London, Kentucky, who I invite, please.
Stay safe. What was it like when every private investigator in the world was there?
Yeah, they've actually got 15 per 10,000 people in London, Kentucky.
This is the rare, please do write in, listener in London, Kentucky, to please fill in any gaps that I'm inevitably leaving because the amount of information on this is so scattered.
Not in a way that endangers yourself, though.
Yeah, no, just whatever you know offhand. Mm. However, Weddle's first brush with controversy comes in week 2022 to between 2022 and 2024. Because starting in 2021, December, a series of donations linked to Randall Weddle through business or family ties were made to the Kentucky Democratic Party and Andy Beshear's campaign for governor.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the previous GOP governor It's like it's a war between the governors as well, right? Because the previous guy pardoned Phelps, and now Weddle is funding his opponent. So about $700,000 in donations to either the Kentucky Democratic Party or Andy Beshear were made by people with either people with ties to Weddle, his family, his lawyers, like everybody who knows Weddle ends up maxing out donations to Beshear.
Maybe they're big like trans rights people. I don't know.
And what happened was, it turns out that to save time, Weddle just kept putting them on his own credit card.
He handed his credit card to every one of those people in perfectly good faith, and they, on their own authority, decided to max out their donations to Andy Beshear.
Your Honor, they all told me they needed jeans, and I was helping them out.
So that basically it was the Kentucky Lantern, this local paper, is like, hey, it seems weird that Beshear is getting like these concentrated donations. Where's this coming from? And they're like, what the fuck? It's Randall Weddle, the Republican mayor of London, Kentucky's donating like near enough $1 million to the Democratic governor.
Out of spite, maybe?
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit of quid pro quo, allegedly. So most Lantern writes, most of the contributions in late 2022 attributed in reports to his family members and employees were actually made by Weddle and his personal credit card. The Beshear campaign and party quickly reported to the election board that Weddle said he had done so by accident and made excess donations on his credit card.
Yeah, I enter into a fugue state and donate a lot of money to Andy Beshear.
Yeah. So it's
what I was doing when I got the Klobuchar shirt.
He was trying to do straw donors, but he just was too kind of oafish to do it properly. So yeah, it was about $202,000 had to be he put on his credit card, had to be refunded to Weddle.
Incredible.
So in 2023, Weddle starts getting quids pro quo. Where, for example, like a whole state road building project that benefits his business gets like moved up to be constructed ahead of schedule, or Beshear appoints Weddle to a spot on the advisory board of the Kentucky Transportation Center. On June 10th, 2022, he submits his application to join the board 4 days earlier on June 6th, 2022. The application included only Weddle's name and phone number. It was otherwise entirely blank.
It just said the word wink.
This also, Weddle is no stranger to defamation lawsuits. In early 2024, in February, Weddle files suit against a woman named Sherry Smith, who reportedly said that Weddle would have people's cars vandalized for staying at bars and restaurants for too long.
What, do you get like a warning in that situation, or is it just I go outside and find that the mayor's goons have destroyed my car like in Reacher?
Smith said, one of the ways you can is say, well, you can't prove or disprove this person's statement, and it's a fact, but if you can't, then it's an opinion, and the statement that we have here is, support London. The mayor and his cronies are marking tires if you spend too much time dining or watching Reed play ball. In the lawsuit, Weddle claims that Sherry Smith made several posts on Facebook about him between 2023 and 2024.
Why doesn't the mayor want people eating at restaurants?
You need throughput, you know, that's just good business. That's the logistics.
You got to be standing outside the restaurant. You got to turn those tables over. It's good for the margins.
If you keep hogging that foretop, I'm going to let the air out of your tires.
Put that on the campaign poster.
The maitre d' is picking up the red telephone that rings the mayor's office. We got a party of two that just ordered two dishes and they will not leave.
There's a six top of ladies that are getting starters as mains.
Oh my God.
And they do not.
They're splitting one salad. Repeat.
The mayor's goons just go, like slide down a fireman pole and just drive to the, just start bashing
the
cars.
They're all coming out of the baseball dugout like in the Warriors.
Yeah. They're writing on the tires in chalk, like they recommend 3 small plates per person, actually.
Yeah, in London, Kentucky, when they say, have you been here before? Because it's a bit of a different experience to other restaurants. They mean that shit.
It's more of a warning. I don't know if this was necessarily true, the mayor appears to have sued someone who believes that his goons are vandalizing cars for people who stay at restaurants for too long. So this brings us to 2024, and Weddle is just fully embattled at this point, right? We didn't know how embattled he was when we first talked about him. But yeah, he's like, all of this stuff has been dogging him. So this is December 2024. Doug Harless is shot by the police, which is the inciting incident that causes the Phelps, who all hate him, to start like complaining about him a lot at city council. And then he goes on the True Crime podcast and is like, yeah, they're a pedophile family.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that brings us to the present day and the parade that has not yet been.
The pedo parade. If you want to recap, just in case people have not listened to all the Weddle alia, do you want to quickly recap what the pedo parade is, please?
So the greatest parade the world has ever known or will ever know is when Randall Weddle and his lawyer, Jeremy Bryan, after being accused, themselves sued for defamation by the Phelps brothers because he called them all a pedo clan, including two other brothers against whom, like, there's been no indication they ever, you know, did anything. That he went on a podcast that's like released on YouTube that's been since deleted, unfortunately. Call says, well, you know, obviously these guys would hate me. They're all pedophiles.
Let he who has never like popped off slightly too hard in a legally inadvisable way on a podcast cast the first stone.
So then they sue him. And then he and his lawyer, who's a little guy, Randall Weddle's a big guy and his lawyer's a little guy. It's great to see them together.
You got to have that dichotomy. You have to.
Yeah.
Good character design for your cast.
Yeah, they say that if these lawsuits aren't dropped by a certain date, they're going to line the streets with their supporters and those who've been injured by like the Phelps family for like a parade of accusation. This parade has not occurred. However, there was a parade in support of Doug Harless, the guy who was killed by the police, basically being like, hey, Doug Harless was killed by the police. We need better oversight. Someone should like, you know, go down for this. Because Randall Weddle was very like secretive about it. He was he stonewalled and tried to protect the police department after this happened. And possibly one of the reasons the parade that wasn't is that the documents that Weddle and Bryant are waving around in that video, it appears as though they were obtained illegally because those were expunged after Doug Phelps was pardoned by the governor.
Oh, so, the pardons again.
Yeah, right. So basically now he's now being sued by a bunch of people who are mentioned in those documents that they unlawfully retained and distributed expunged legal records relating to like this interviews with people while they were still like minors and stuff. The whole thing stinks to high heaven.
The craziest thing about the creep amnesty is that it has such legal force that you can't even like, you know, whistleblow on the creep amnesty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, so that whole element of it stinks to high heaven, right? Like, I don't know enough, right?
But I assume this is some James Ellroy type shit going on here. It's real bad, I imagine.
Yeah. But in addition to all of this crazy shit happening, Weddle is still just running the town as normal.
He's supposed to do messed up. He has to still go and cut ribbons.
So his most recent act, possibly coming into force on May 5th, depending on how London, Kentucky votes, is to make bullying a Class A misdemeanor for children.
Okay. And, well, he's like, I'm a victim of bullying recently. And I just, as a bullying survivor,
as a survivor of bullying. Yeah. So this is, I think, us brought entirely up to date.
That's everything.
On the Randall
happened.
Weddle story.
Okay.
With our limited perception of time, with our linearity, this is everything that we can yet comprehend of Randall Weddle.
Yeah, this is a non heptapod perspective on Randall Weddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only got the two arms and two legs.
Yeah,
I'm a quadruped.
I'm sort of a quadruped.
I'm holding up the whiteboard and it just says Mayor with a question mark on it.
And the heptapod's wearing a little sash.
Abbott is Mayor process.
He's wearing a little top hat. Oh, man.
This is Randall Weddle.
If you haven't seen the movie Arrival.
See Arrival. It's a good movie.
You're going to get nothing from this segment.
Yeah. Okay, so we've now been brought entirely up to date on the goings-on in London, Kentucky. While I was doing this, I was thinking like, damn, this really is the world's local politics podcast.
Yeah.
Perhaps one of the most useless concepts you can think of.
I'm so proud of us.
Yeah.
Now we're following the London, Kentucky town council. Like on May 5th, are they going to make bullying a Class A misdemeanor or not?
We're going to know about it if they do or don't.
Yeah. I mean, this is, say what you will about this podcast, but it's the only one that could both study the local goings on contemporaneously in London, Kentucky, and esoteric fascists in an outpost of Italy that later got handed back to Croatia.
All right. So these are my mayors. If you don't like them, I have others, but these are the ones I have for you today.
These are beautiful mayors.
There are many like them.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for these mayors.
There are two more stars in the sky today, I think.
two medium large mayors.
Two medium large, both alike in dignity.
Mm-hmm. But you see what I mean about how there's medium mayors. There's like
a
good...
Neither's enough to carry an episode on their own, but together they provide a gestalt, you know?
Too big for a municipal roundup, too small for a whole episode themselves, mm-hmm. yet together, transforming into like Voltron, mm-hmm. they are... The medium large, this medium mayor.
The Metaculus has such wisdom to sort of like arrange this for us.
Yeah, I would say that they are big, but it's the municipal roundups that got small.
Yeah. Tiny, yeah.
Yeah. Sash got smaller, Vision got bigger. All right. I think that's that about does it for us today on No Gods, No Mayors.
Beautiful.
But thank you very much for listening to this free episode. And I think I'm mayor again next week.
I'm sorry to take so long away from being mayor. Yeah.
Oh no, no, that's quite all right.
November's in sort of what we refer to on the podcast as open prison.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And she's legally barred from, she's driving through the town waving to us, but is legally barred from being mayor for a couple of weeks.
I'm going to think of who I do as mayor again. I'm really liking leaving the sort of English speaking world. Mm. I especially like Portuguese speaking mayors for some reason.
I was going to say, you're really deep on, you love to Google translate Portuguese news articles.
Yeah, I am. I'm Luso-pilled in terms of my mayor. So I'm going to think of another possibly non-English speaking mayor.
Ooh.
And we're going to have a good time with it.
If people wanted to listen to the next episode of the show, how would they do that, Riley? Because this is a free episode.
Well, thank you so much for asking.
Mm-hmm.
You would go onto Patreon.
you could go to nogodsnomares.com. There'll be a link to the Patreon there.
Wow.
Go to nogodsnomares.com and pay whatever five American dollars is going to be worth in 2 weeks' time.
Whatever that is in Brazilian reals.
Yeah. It's five reals now. It's not doing good. Although at time of recording, President Capitulator has capitulated on everything.
We'll talk about it on Trash Future.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, look out for that. Anyway, okay. Thanks everybody for listening to the mayors. Bye.
Oh, wait, I have a plug. Very quick. I have a show at the Bell House in Brooklyn on May 9th, genderpodcast.com/live. You can come see our variety show. It is fun and good. And if you like transsexuals doing capering for you, it is the show for you.
That's the show. That's the show to attend.
Yeah.
Okay. Now bye.
Bye.
Now bye. Bye-bye.